The Lord is good
all the time.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, and a very warm welcome to you all to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. On behalf of our church family, I would like to welcome all those who are worshiping with us for the first time or doing so after a long while. Welcome also to our brothers and sisters who are on Zoom and to those who listen to our church service afterwards from our website. Next Sunday, 17th, we, as part of the implementation process of the Presbytery Mission Plan, we'll be having a joint service at Wormit. So service next week will be Wormit, a cluster grouping. Is there an announcement from Kirsty?
Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to make a very quick announcement. Last week, we spoke about sharing our abundance with people round about us and what we can do in just every little small way. At tea and coffee last week, the donations were given over to Christian Aid. And I was blown away on Monday morning when I got a message from Margaret Imlay to say how much we'd actually raised. So everybody, this is a huge thank you for the the number's up on the screen. You didn't need me to tell you. It's also in the back of your leaflet. But I believe that God sent his Son into the world to transform lives. You transformed lives, or we did last week, in that little thing of just putting the money in the box, or for those of us who didn't put the money in the box, you might have put something in a food bank. And even those people who weren't able to come out of their houses, they might have just said a prayer. So each and every one of us did something last week that truly did transform a life. And that's really what being a Christian and having a faith is all about. So as well as the amount of money we raised, there was another part of the story, and this is the one that stuck with me, that apparently when Margaret contacted Christian Aid, the aid worker on the other end of the phone, when she heard our story, she said it made her day. So as well as making one less person in poverty having something to eat, which is what that donation will mean, you also made someone on a Monday morning who, if they're anything like me, thought, oh, another working week, and all of a sudden their day was made better by that little gesture that we all made. So thank you.
Please find time to read the order of service. There are so many intimations which are quite important. But one again, on Tuesday, we are having a memorial service in the church here for Mrs. Judith Wilkes, who passed on recently. So we will be holding a service here on Tuesday at 1 p.m. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God. Our first theme is Rejoice, the Lord is King. It's 4:4:9.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy and loving God, you are the one who is closer to us than we dare imagine, the one who loved us before we ever knew your name. You are worthy of all our hearts, all our souls, all our minds, all our strength. We come to worship you not as a formality, not as an item on a list, but as the very center of our lives. Lord Jesus, you have shown us what love looks like, love that reaches across barriers, love that speaks truth with grace, love that lays itself down for friend and stranger alike. Holy Spirit, open our hearts to receive your word today. Teach us not just to hear the great commandments, but to live them, so that our love for you overflows into love for every neighbor you set before us. Dear God, you call us to love you with all we are and to love our neighbors as ourselves, yet we confess how easily we settle for less, offering you a part of our heart while keeping the rest for our own desires. We confess that we have been quick to protect our own comfort and slow to cross the street for someone in need. We have spoken words that wound, kept silent when truth was needed, and turned away from those who needed our kindness. At times, our worship has been hollow, praise on our lips, but not in our lives. Forgive us, Lord, draw us closer, not only to the edge of your kingdom, but right into the center of your will. Root us in your love, so that loving you and loving others becomes the natural fruit of our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, All I Once Held Dear, Build My Life Upon, 506.
Thank you.
Good morning, children. Good morning. How are we this morning? Good. It's very good weather today, isn't it? Sun is shining. It's bright outside. It's warmer. But I'm still wearing a very dark gown, even though it's warm. Have you been enjoying your holidays? When do you go back to school? In a week's time. That seems to have been a very short holiday. Now let's begin with our questions this morning. If you were asked to keep one rule, just one rule, one very important rule for the rest of your life, what would that be? Just one rule. You know what rules are, right? Good. You're all nodding your head, so you know. One rule. Just try. What would that be? Keep things to yourself? Okay. That's an interesting one. Yes? There can be many answers. Do you want me to suggest some? Don't talk when your mouth is full. Would that be a rule? Good one? Okay. Never hit your brother or sister. What about eat your vegetables? Those are all good rules. Now, there's a story in the Bible. Somebody came to Jesus and said, what is the most important rule that I can keep? What can I do? Something nice. And you know what Jesus told him? Can anyone remember? He said something about love. Love your neighbor. You are very close. Love your friends. Love God. So he first of all told him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with everything about you. And then there is a second one. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Powerful. Powerful. Love your neighbor as yourself. Can you love your neighbor as, can you love anyone the way you love yourself? Let's be honest. Can you love people the way you love yourself? When you love yourself, what kind of things do you do? You will not hurt yourself, right? Because you love yourself. You will do good things to yourself. You will eat well to nourish your body. So when you love yourself, you try to do things that don't endanger you, things that are good, that help you grow. And so Jesus says, love God and also love your neighbor. And the reason why you don't just need to love God but also your neighbor, because all other people are also created by God. So if you love God, you have to love the people that he has created. And this means so many things. It means that in school, when you find that somebody is sitting alone or they are lonely, what do you do? What do you do? Sit with them. It helps. Okay? It means that to avoid mom or dad talking a lot when they say go to bed, you just go to bed. It means that helping out in doing things at home and in the church, wherever you are. It means helping people and not hurting them. So Jesus says, love God, and I'm sure, pretty sure all of you love God. That's why you are here. But it doesn't end there. Love your neighbor. Love other people too. Because by doing so, we recognize that we are all children of God. So love God and love your neighbor. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for another day of worship and for this time with the children. Young as they are, O God, we know and trust that they are being shaped into vessels of great beauty and under your command. We thank you for the lessons they learn each week they come to church. And we pray, O God, that they may take these lessons back into the communities and be people who are different, shining light in the dark places of the world. Grant us that spirit of love, not just for you, but for our neighbors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next hymn is Light of the World, You Stepped Down into Darkness, and it's printed on the order of service.
To see. The first reading this morning is from Proverbs chapter 6, verses 12 to 19. This can be found on page 640 on Pew Bibles and on the overhead. Warnings against folly. A scoundrel and a villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth, who winks with his eye, signals with his feet, and motions with his fingers, who plots evil with deceit in his heart, he always stirs up dissension. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. The second reading is from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 37, page 1018 and on the overhead. The greatest commandment. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Whose son is the Christ? While Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, he asked, "Why do the teachers of the law say that the Christ is the son of David?" David himself, speaking by the Holy Spirit, declared, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet." David himself calls him Lord. How then can he be his son? The large crowd listened to him with delight. Amen. Thanks be to God for the readings from his holy word. The next hymn is number 561, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, you are the God who speaks light into darkness and life into what was dead. Today we ask you to do the same in us. By your Spirit, open our eyes to see what is true. Open our ears to hear your voice and open our hearts to love as you love. Let the words of Scripture pierce, heal, and transform us, so that we might not only understand your truth, but embody it in our lives. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our neighbor, we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to think with you this morning on the theme Closer Than You Think, Loving God, Loving People, Living Truth. Closer than you think. Back home in Cameroon, where I come from, it is almost impossible to walk down the street without greeting people, whether you know them or not. A trip to buy bread could take twice as long because you have stopped to ask after someone's grandmother, or you have been pulled into a story about a cousin's wedding. Relationships are the fabric of life. Connection is assumed. Here in Scotland, our new home away from home, things work a little differently. If you have lived here long enough, and I'm sure many of you have, you know the national sport is not football, but avoiding eye contact with strangers on the bus. There is a kind of unspoken agreement in many communities. Keep to yourself, don't cause a fuss, and you will be considered a good neighbor. And I will be honest, it is tempting, isn't it? You keep to yourself, smile politely in the co-op, maybe even hold a door open now and then, and it feels like you have done your part. But our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't call us to the minimum viable neighborliness. As the theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer once wrote, and I quote, "Love is the fulfilling of the law, but it is never the fulfillment of our duty. It is the infinite debt we owe to God and our neighbor," end of quote. That is why today's passage calls us beyond politeness and into the costly transformative love that reflects the heart of God himself. In Mark 12, from verse 28, Jesus lifts our definition of loving your neighbor far beyond polite distance. When the scribe asks which commandment is most important, Jesus names two. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Then he adds that these are worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. In other words, the heart of faith is not performance, position, or even public worship. It is love that flows from a heart fully surrendered to God and poured out for others. The scribe gets it at least partly. He recognizes that love is greater than ritual. And Jesus tells him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." That is both encouragement and challenge. Close is not the same as in. You can be theologically correct, morally upright, and socially respectable, and still be standing at the threshold instead of living inside the reality of God's kingdom. And here is where Proverbs 6, 12 to 19 sharpens the point. Solomon paints the opposite picture. A person whose heart devises wicked schemes, whose mouth spreads lies, whose actions sow discord. God hates these things, not just because they are bad behaviors, but because they rip apart the very fabric of community. The contrast is stark. Jesus calls us into a life that builds up through love. Proverbs warns us against the life that tears down through pride, falsehood, and division. And friends, if we are honest, the West today is caught in a storm of both. The UK, the US, and much of Europe, they are all struggling with polarization. Public discourse has become toxic. We see it in politics, where compromise is treated like betrayal. In the media, where outrage sells better than truth. And even in churches, where theological disagreements can fracture relationships faster than you can say committee meeting. Scotland's reserved culture can sometimes mask this. Conflict might not be shouted across the street, but it can simmer in silence, in cold shoulders, in whispered conversations that never reach the person concerned. The biblical warnings are not theoretical. When Proverbs says God hates a lying tongue and one who sows discord among brothers, it is speaking straight into our group chats. The hallway whispers before a meeting, the quick DMs sent in frustration. And when Jesus pairs love for God with love for neighbor, he's showing us that the antidote to that poison is not stricter policies or better spin. It is a heart so changed by God's love that it overflows into every word and action, offering truth and sacrifice instead of suspicion and division. This love goes beyond the Scottish minimum standard of not being a brother. It actively seeks the good of others, even those who are difficult to love. It tells the truth even when silence would be easier. It forgives quickly, not because the hurt did not matter, but because the cross has taught us that reconciliation matters more. It refuses to indulge gossip or half-truths, even when those might make us feel included in the group. And friends, here is the twist. This kind of love is impossible to sustain in our strength. That is why Jesus starts with loving God. The second commandment flows from the first. You cannot consistently love your neighbor as yourself unless you are rooted in the love of God. Otherwise, you will either burn out from trying too hard or withdraw to protect yourself. The love Jesus describes is supernatural. It begins with the reality that we were loved first, even when we were unlovely, and it spills over into how we see and treat others. Miroslav Volf puts it beautifully. The love of God is not something we possess. It is something that possesses us, and in possessing us, it shapes how we live with others. That is what moves you from being not far from the kingdom to living fully within the kingdom of God. So in Newport-on-Tay, in Dundee, in the Highlands, in London, in Washington, D.C., the call is the same. Let your love for God be the deep root that nourishes the fruit of loving your neighbor. In a culture quick to divide and slow to forgive, in a society where faith is increasingly private and love is often redefined as mere tolerance, the church is meant to be a living contradiction, bold in truth, abundant in grace, and relentless in love. The good news, and there is always a good news, the good news is that God has not left us to guess how. The Spirit works in us to replace the treasures of a selfish heart with the treasures of Christ. The Word of God sharpens our discernment so that our words are life-giving, not life-draining. And the people of God, when we choose humility, truth, and unity, we become a living parable to the watching world of what God's kingdom looks like here and now. And that is not just theory, it is something we can see. Even in the quiet corners of history, sometimes it happens not through a sermon in a cathedral, but in a living room, over conversations and prayers that no one else hears. That is how it was for Frances Ridley Havergal. She was just 36 when she visited a house in England where 10 people lived. Some did not know Christ and others were lukewarm in their faith. That night she prayed for every single one of them. By morning she wrote to a friend, quote, "There were 10 people in the house and God gave me all 10," end of quote. The joy of seeing God's love transform those lives overflowed into the words we now sing, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee." It's our next hymn. That is what we are talking about today, not just avoiding discord, but living so wholly given over to Christ that his love shapes every interaction, whether it is the tension in the car park, the disagreement over coffee, the stranger who needs kindness, or the hardship that tests our honesty. And here is the hope. The love of God in Christ Jesus is not like the fragile love we so often chase, love that breaks under pressure or fades with time. His love satisfies in a way no person ever could, and when it fills us, it flows outward, quietly but powerfully, into a world hungry for something real. And maybe, just maybe, when someone here in Scotland sees that in you, love that is patient, gentle, generous, truthful, they won't just see a nice person. They will catch a glimpse of the kingdom. And by God's grace, they won't only be not far, they will step inside the kingdom of God. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Before you leave this place today, think of one relationship in your life that is strained or distant. Take one real step toward peace. Send a message. Make a call. Extend a kindness. Do it not to keep the peace, not to be polite, but as an offering. Take my life, Lord, let it be every moment, every relationship consecrated to you. Lord, you have loved us with an everlasting love and called us into your kingdom of truth and peace. Forgive us for the times we have been content to be not far from your ways while avoiding the hard work of loving you fully and loving our neighbor sacrificially. By your Spirit, cleanse our hearts, guard our words, and guide our actions. Make us living witnesses of your kingdom in Scotland, the United Kingdom, and wherever you have placed us, so that the fruit of our lives would draw others to the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Take my life, Lord, let it be. It's our next hymn, 502.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us so much. And we thank you for the resources that we use to sustain the lives you have given to us. We bring this money before you. It's only a portion of what you've blessed us with. Take it and use it and us for the building up of your kingdom here on earth. Bless our lives and all that we do, and strengthen us for service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us intercede. There is a response. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, you call your church to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive us when we settle for politeness instead of sacrificial love, and when we guard our comfort instead of seeking another's good. Strengthen Newport on Tay Church and the whole church in Scotland and across the world to be bold in truth, generous in grace, and relentless in love. Keep us from gossip, division, or coldness of heart. Make our fellowship a living picture of your kingdom, where the lonely find welcome, the weary find rest, and the lost find home in Christ. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the world. God of the nations, we lift up before you our fractured and weary world. In places torn by war, conflict, and deep division, we ask for your peace that passes understanding. In countries where truth is traded for power, raise up voices of courage and integrity. In our own society, where polarization and suspicion so often win the day, help us to model a better way, the way of truth spoken in love, of forgiveness offered before it is asked, and of bridge building where others have built walls. We pray especially for leaders in Scotland, Westminster, and across the nations. Grant them wisdom that is pure, peaceable, and just. Lord, in your mercy. Father, you have placed us here in Newport on Tay for a purpose. We pray for our neighbors, those we know well, and those we barely see. Break down the barriers of reserve that keep us apart. Give us eyes to notice those who are struggling, courage to speak words of kindness, and patience to walk alongside those in need. Bless our schools as the new term approaches, our shops, local businesses, and all who serve our community. Let our town be marked by truth, fairness, and compassion. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for those in need. Merciful God, we remember before you all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. We pray for the sick, and we think of our brother and father who was taken out of the church at some point. We ask, O God, that whatever may be the situation, you will minister to him according to his need. Stretch out your healing and tender hand, O God, upon all those who are struggling in one way or the other, the grieving, the lonely, the anxious, and those weighed down by burdens they cannot speak aloud. We name them now in our hearts. Surround them with your comfort. Use us where you will, as hands that serve, words that heal, and hearts that care. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we cannot love in our own strength. Root us so deeply in your love that it spills over into every relationship, every conversation, every choice. Where there is bitterness, bring forgiveness. Where there is fear, bring courage. Where there is weariness, bring joy. And in this coming week, show each of us one real step we can take toward peace and reconciliation with someone in our lives. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, and in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We bring our service to its close by singing, "Ye servants of God, your master proclaim." It's number 130. In peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world. Amen.